Introduction of myself. My name is Anatoly Vilchinsky. I'm a head of support department at Starwind Software Incorporated. My preferred drink, scotch and cointreau, and you, my friends, can call me Tony. Well, that's it. And before we'll get started, let's review a quick agenda of today's session. So, for aperitif, we will have the great discussion about when it is better to use pure Microsoft technologies, or maybe it is better to give the system a good old pint of Starwind. Demo and instant overview will be a quick bitter shot, and then we'll open the main drink bottle. We'll see the Starwind software in action, and then we'll have after party where all the questions will be answered. Okay, gentlemen, let's get it started. Bottoms up. Okay, so here is what Microsoft have on the left side, and there is a Starwind in the right corner. Alone, lone wolf. So let's just run through all of that both companies' solutions have, and to ensure that business continuity decrease or possibly increase the total cost of ownership, and also we'll discuss when it will be better to use one or another solution. We'll do it one by one, obviously. Numero uno in our list is shared nothing live migration that makes possible to move virtual machines from one running physical Hyper-V host to another without downtime. With this solution, you don't need neither shared storage nor clustered Hyper-V host. Shared Nothing Live Migration helps manage scheduled downtime. However, it does not protect from unplanned downtime, hardware or software failure. The big issue with this approach is the inability to build a guest virtual machine cluster because it requires shared storage or fiber channel, share storage, fiber channel, or SCADI. In addition, migration takes too much time if there are many virtual machines or big amounts of disk space that need to be transferred from one host to another. And then the process implies the movement of whole entire virtual machine and disk image and VM memory content from one physical host to another. Starwind, on the other hand, utilizes the same hardware and software and solves the all issues mentioned above. It provides assistance with both planned and unplanned downtime. With Starwind, it's easy to build a guest virtual machine cluster because it's a fault-tolerant SCSI hyperconverged solution itself. The virtual machine data store can be any size because all the data is synchronized between the host synchronously. So just to sum this part up, Microsoft has don't really provide the protection from unplanned downtime, and Starwind does. Also, it will be a little bit difficult to do the guest VM cluster with Microsoft, and it's totally possible with Starwind. And about, you know, I would say that absence of protection from the downtime is the major part in here, because, you know, nobody wants that. Error, no keyboard, press F1. Okay, so next is Hyper-V Replica, which ensures effective virtual machine level disaster recovery. It enables virtual machine replication and manual failover in case of sudden server breakdown. However, it does not deliver automatic failover. Data is asynchronously replicated with a minimum 5 minutes interval, so that after the failover, there is a data loss for the reference parade. Along with the manual failover, Starwind ensures automatic failover, thereby providing continuous availability, zero data loss, and the best RTO and RPO values. Since Starwind makes synchronous mirroring, there is no difference between the data kept on both storage servers. Scale-out file servers is the next in our list, and, well, to be honest, that thing is actually a great thing. I mean, Really, it's SMB3, and Microsoft can be considered as a real serious player on the virtualization market with that solution. However, the thing that need to be considered here is implementation cost. That's a biggest concern that I would say. So, what exactly do I mean here? First of all, let's talk about the minimal footprint that needs to be implemented, let's say. With scale-out file servers of Microsoft, you should have at least two servers that will run in scale-out mode, and those ones should be equipped with the SAS hardware. So, a little bit more insight on the SAS hardware. Well, as one good movie says, there can be only one. But if that one will die, you'll get a big headache, angry boss. Nobody wants to see the face and the eyes of the angry boss. So to avoid that inconvenient and bad situation, you can use three JBots, and that will actually help you to avoid having such downtime and single point of failures. But let's make a really quick and rough calculation on this. First of all, you need to have two servers. Well, okay, right? You need to get three SAS JBots. Well, for me, that's not okay already. You need to have SAS wires from each SAS JBot to each servers. Okay, you will say. Also, each server should be equipped with these SAS HBAs. And that's where I would like to stop. Well, I mean, I can continue, obviously. But no, I will add another thing. Scale-out file server scenario of Microsoft cannot run in the hyperconverged mode, which means that you need to keep the compute and the storage level separated from each other. So if you want to have a really small environment, let's say 2-node of Hyper-V cluster, that will ensure the availability on all available levels. That means that you need to have four servers and three JBots and a lot of cables, a really big web, bigger than internet. So that's not really good. On the other hand, again, Starwind, which first of all runs in hyperconverged mode, and it doesn't require having any proprietary hardware, SAS, JBots, SAS disks, flash storage, switches, all of that, simply not required for Starwind, which obviously cuts down the CapEx and operational expenditures as well. By the way, as a side effect of hyperconverged architecture, there is a big, great benefit in the significant performance boost, dramatical performance increase, since all operation basically will run locally, will be processed locally, I mean reads and writes, which means that the network will no longer be the bottleneck of the performance. So you will not be limited with the 10 gig, 1 gig wires, 10 gig wires. Hopefully one day you will consider 40 gigs as a limit. And yeah, so that is actually a quick comparison, Okay, so let's finish this shot and jump to the next one. Bottoms up. Cool. So this is a just a demo stand overview of the system that we're gonna use today. So that is minimalistic footprint of Starwind Virtual SAN equipped Hyper-V cluster. By the way, I think whole entire system can go for free, really. So Starwind can go for free because we have such option. You know, Starwind goes for free, and we have sometimes, or and right now actually, we have time limited offers for VMware users and for Microsoft specialists. Yeah, I know you'll have some questions regarding this, so just type them all in. But let's get back to our system. So two servers with SAS drives with a couple of network interface cards. Well, okay, I'm lying. There is a four of network interface cards actually, but two of them will be used for synchronization, and one will be used for the heartbeat. And the heartbeat is that big, small, pleasant, great thing that prevents it. Split brain issue hated by every single person here, I guess. And also, the slide illustrates that Starwind actually mirrors the data between its data stores. So, okay, right now I'm gonna show you the live demonstration of Starwind Virtual SAN. I'm gonna share with you my desktops of my remote desktop of our servers. Okay, and a bad news. Windows wants to update my server. Let's just ignore it. Okay, so I've got one server here. I've got. Oh, come on. I know you can do it. I've got another server here as well. So those are actually the Starwind machines. Let's close Starwind. As you can see, there are two of them, and I want to pay your attention to the fact that Starwind Management Console can be installed remotely from the Starwind hosts themselves, which make the management of the entire system much more easy and useful. By the way, that is especially the case when Starwind is installed on the core editions of the Windows Server. And by the way, Starwind can be installed on the free Hyper-V server, which is free distributive of core edition of Windows Server. And thus, system can be really go for free. So, couple of servers. Who doesn't have a couple of servers? Nobody, right? So, a couple of servers that you already have, free Hyper-V server, free Starwind, boom, 5 minutes, you're done. By the way, about the 5 minutes, that is exactly what I'm going to show right now. I want to see how it's easy and fast is a tagline here, the configuration of Starwind can be. So, just, okay, let's count time. Let's just see how long will it take to configure the highly available storage of Starwind. Okay, I'm ready. 3, 2, 1, go. Click at Starwind button, at server button to configure the host of Starwind that should be connected. Should be managed through the Starwind Management Console. In our case, there are two servers, as you already know, which are the Starwind HVN1 and Starwind HVN 3. Double-click on both of them to ensure that there is Starwind actually installed. Choose where the default storage path will be located. Yeah, by the way, I have cheated a little bit. I have created the Starwind HA cluster and the Hyper-V cluster on top of that. You know, just to don't waste your time, because, you know, believe me, that thing works and that thing is rock solid. Okay, so how to add the Starwind storage? Click Add Device, give it a name, specify the size, and let the thing be. We've got 67 attendees, so let it be 67 gigabyte size. size. Click Create button and close. Voila, we've got the standalone image created, but let's make it in HA. Right click on the image, go click on the Replication Manager, click Add Replica in the wizard that will appear, choose Synchronous to a Replication and click Next. On the next step of wizard, specify the IP address or the domain name, which is preferred for me, of the partner server that you want to use and click Next or Enter. Choose do you want to create the new partner device or there is something that already exists and you want to use it. I don't have nothing. I will choose create new partner device. On this step you need to specify the path where the header file of the HA will be stored, and usually I'm sticking with the defaults, and I recommend to do that. Click next. And here is the most tricky part of Starwind HA Wizard. You need to specify the synchronization IP interfaces and the heartbeat IP interfaces. I'll give you the brief best practices regarding those a little bit later. So, okay, next, create replica. 3, 2, 1, 1, 0, 0. And we're done. Click refresh to ensure that nobody lied and the HA image was created. Voila, gentlemen, we've got this Starwind highly available cluster up and running. Woohoo! Good, let's get back to our servers and I've got to show you how to configure this storage to be presented to the Hyper-V cluster. Open the SkyDB initiator on one box, click refresh button. It's Microsoft solution, so it's gonna hang for a while. Right here you see that we've got the two new targets presented. So basically we need to connect to one of them locally, and since we're on HV1 and one machine, we need to connect to this one locally. So click connect, you can enable multipass, and click OK. Done. The second one should be connected remotely, and this is actually a really tricky question how to connect it, because it can be done through dedicated network interfaces or even through the synchronization channel. That, gentlemen, is actually up to you. But once again, I'll stick with the defaults unless the Microsoft SkyDB initiator will hang forever and ever, ever, ever. While it's hanging, I'm gonna go to the other server and open the SkyDB initiator right here, hopefully. Will I? I know I could do that previously. Yes, I will. Yes, I will. Great. Oh, it's even running. Okay, let's click refresh button here. And let's connect to this one locally. So the loopback again. Jesus Christ, what's happening on with that? Okay, that's, my friend, what I call high availability. We've got a SkyDB initiator hanged on two servers simultaneously. So if it's not hanged on one server, it hanged on another one. Well, while we're waiting for some miracle from this piece of software, you guys can start asking some questions and I will gladly answer all of them. Edgars, my friend, I know you have questions. You always do. Awesome. He's totally not responding. A question from Gerald. I see you are using Star Server 2012 right here. So, yeah, I do. Guilty. And the Cantina, general Cantina asking question, and does it work on Hyper-V 2012 Core R2? Yep, it does. That's not even a question. That's the statement. It does work on the core editions of Windows. Well, gentlemen, I'm not sure that the thing will be up someday today, so just believe me. After we would connect it to the iSCSI disk through the iSCSI initiator, they would appear in the disk manager. MGMT. Just how it is shown on this console. This one, right. So, as I said, we've got CSV disk and the quorum configured. And connected. So, those two are actually Starwinds. So what I'm gonna do, I'm going to simulate some, let's say, plant maintenance. One of the next time I will simulate the unplanned maintenance by unplugging one of the servers, possibly. So let's emulate that we want to remove some role, and that thing is obviously requires the reboot of the whole entire server, right? So I'm gonna remove the file and oh, come on. Okay. Let's just remove the file server. Okay, let's try to remove the storage services. Okay, the thing doesn't allow me to do a thing. I'm angry on this bit, so let's just make a dirty restart of the server. But before I want to present you our test virtual machine that is actually running on the top of the Hyper-V cluster. So this is the virtual machine. This is the servers that I'm gonna run. And on the background, I want you to see the, oh, come on, Starwind Management Console. Starwind Management Console on the background, please. Here it goes. Beautiful. Okay, so yeah, that's exactly what I wanted. And here, let's just run something. Let's just run, I don't know. Do I have some kind of hyperv here? No, I don't. Okay, let's pretend that we are really cool hackers and run the ping command to the Facebook with the PowerShell. Okay, starting to hack the. Oh, come on, you can run. No? No. Okay, let's pretend that command prompt is actually the PowerShell. Okay. Yeah, and let's make it more, I don't know, enthusiastic. Great, we are in the metrics now. So, okay, let's start hacking the Facebook. Okay, we've got it here. So, come on, bad boy. You need to be punished real hard. Okay, so restart. Boom, boom, boom. Restart anyway. He deserved that. Agree. Okay, that server is down. That here is our Starwind. And which is more important? Yeah, right, I know. Which is more important if that's virtual machine here is actually still running. It survives all the failures of the network or with what can possibly be here. So, as you can see, HVN3 is not connecting actually to the Starwind Management Console, which means that Starwind is officially dead there. And one node is down, you know, which actually means 50% of loss in this environment, since we're running only from two nodes, whole entire system, virtualization, well, compute and storage layers, both. And that is exactly, my friends, why you need the HA on the Starwind and on the Hyper-V levels, both. After the thing will actually come back, the synchronization will kick in. But let's wait it while we will continue asking the questions. Okay, gentlemen. Let's do it one by one and prepare the microphones because I see, I feel there is a good questions here. Okay, so Guido don't have a microphone. Too bad. Okay. Stefan Donato ask, well, actually, a little simple question. What drives do we have in both servers? Those are actually slow SATA spindles. It's 7200 RPM with some low cache, as far as I remember. So yeah, that again, Starwind can work on anything. Starwind is hardware agnostic. Starwind utilizes everything that you will fit it. Jeff Dwyer is asking, got in late to webinar. Do I install Hyper-V at 2012 free and configure my follower cluster first before installing Starwind free? I think it will be better to configure the Starwind first and then create the Hyper-V follower cluster on top of the Starwind shared storage. Beneficial, great solution. Thank you for your question. Question from Gerald Valere. I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing something wrong. What are the RAM requirements for the Starwind virtual SAN? Well, that's a simple question as well. Starwind requires having at least 4 GB of random access memory installed in each Starwind node. Please note that two of them usually are consumed by the operation system. Regarding some best practices, by the way, we recommend to use at least 10% of the random access memory for L1 caching, and well, that's not a, I'm mistaken, sorry, that should be not 10%, that should be 1 gigabyte of random access memory per each terabyte of the storage. That's about the RAM. Regarding the level 2 caching, that should be a 10% of out of the storage of Starwind that should will be configured. Владимир Усов is asking, Здравствуйте, Владимир. Starwind storage populated to the local host via iSCSI. How do you evaluate in the iSCSI overhead? That is exactly the thing that is absorbed with the random access memory at the first, and also since we're running hyperconverged, the local the reads and writes are actually local, which avoids network and which is basically can be considered as not even iSCSI, you know, it's local reads, it's something like more likely more looks like the direct attack storage. Okay. But hey, if you have some additional questions regarding that, just, you know, type them in. That can be a great conversation, and I will unmute you for that. Okay, two questions from Brian Clarton. Can run DC in a VM? And the second, did I run DC on both Hyper-V host? Brian, that is actually a great question. That is actually a really fantastic question, and that thing should be addressed to Microsoft. As far as I know, starting from Windows Server 2012, yeah, it's possible to run the domain controller in, you know, as a virtual machine. Question from Ernesto Limonta. Can you have 4 servers and create RAID 10 out of all the servers? Sure thing. 4 servers are considered as the scale out architecture, actually, from the Starwind perspective. That thing is a little bit complicated right now from the configuration standpoint, but the general idea is that Starwind can be scaled out, you know, so if you want to add some compute power to the whole entire cluster, just bring the new server with the compute power in. If you want to add the storage space, just get some storage, it's a server with a storage space, and that's it. Akbar Ahmad is asking, can you please briefly list all the infrastructure item? SATA spindles, Ethernet cables, motherboard. Well, I don't see why should I list everything. Well, that is actually briefly. I don't know what to add here, actually. Thank you for your question. Okay, a question from Daniel Olson. And Daniel, brace yourself, I'm gonna unmute you. Once I will find you in the list. Daniel, where are you? Okay. Okay, Daniel is unmuted. Hi, Daniel, do you hear us? Can you say something? Oh, yeah, I hear you. The connection is not the best one, but I hear you. So, okay, Daniel, you were asking how much slower response time will you have with replication related to no replication, correct? That's a great question. So, first of all, may I ask you what exactly do you mean by saying no replication?
I see you can run Starwind on only one host.
Mm-hmm.
This depends on nuances.
No, not at all. Oh well, once again, as I mentioned previously, Starwind, first of all, synchronous replication, because we are considering each AI right now, correct? Each replicates everything simultaneously. Moreover, since we recommend to run the Starwinds with the write back caching, that basically means that the data hits cache of both nodes first and then gets back. Thus, the some negative aspects is actually eliminated, because you know the data is in a RAM. That's actually the really fast. If we're considering tiered cache caching model, so random access memory for level one cache and flash for level two, that basically means that flash will accelerate the reads while you know the data block that's stored there will be safe, and the level one cache will absorb all the writes. And depending on the amount of the cache, it can work actually faster, 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 and even faster. And by the way, I heard that you are running databases, and usually people are using RAID 5 to run the databases. I would like to mention here that Starwind has proprietary technology called log structured file system. To make long story short, that thing eliminates the negative aspects of parity rates. Well, for example, you know, parity rates are low on the have really low write performance. Starwind accelerates that. If RAID 5 will have some kind of rebuild, Starwind can fix that as well, actually. There will be probably some manual manipulations, but at the end of the day, you will get a good speed, which is significant improvement, right? Okay, I hope that answered your question, Daniel. Good. Do you have some other questions? Okay, thank you for your question. I'm unmuting you back. Take care. Okay, so quick question from Rommel Arana. Is it possible to run Starwind on top of the storage spaces? And my quick answer is yes, it's definitely possible. Great suggestion from Qin Liu, who said that I need more beer, and I'm 100% agree with that. Thank you. Okay, so I have answered that already. At Bell Fadane, I guess, is asking, can we use it, Starwind, I guess, for an extended cluster? What is the supported distance for synchronization latency limits? Do we need to configure Windows NIC teaming for redundancy on? Oh, that is another question. Sorry. So the question is, basically, if Starwind supports the disaster recovery. Configuring disaster recovery sites. Definitely, that's definitely possible. Starwind do provide the asynchronous replication technology, which can be used to effectively replicate all of the data that need to be backed up on the disaster recovery site to, surprise, surprise, disaster recovery site, which is great here is that Starwind has a bunch of data compression technologies which lowers, significantly lowers, and the requirements to the than data link, you know, to the interconnection. And also Starwind runs in the background, which makes the requirements to the primary storage and again the WAN data link even lower, which is cool. Okay, question from Akbar Ahmad. Do we need to configure Windows NIC teaming for redundancy on network switches, or Starwind has its own NIC redundancy configuration? Well, the answer to both questions is no, but you will still like the explanation. You don't need to configure any NIC teaming. Starwind don't have any NIC teaming technology, but Starwind do support MPAO, and 95% of our users are running the round robin MPAO policy, which effectively uses simultaneously all available passes to the storage, thus significantly increases the fantastic speed of the Starwind solution. Thank you for your question, Akbar. Question from Artem Zaitsev. Здрасте, Артем. Okay, I need to translate it. Is it possible to get some comparison calculation of the Starwind solution versus the scale-out files server solution from Microsoft? If actually the Starwind is cheaper, Artem, yeah, definitely we can do this, but we need to, you know, we need to have some, you know, some exact scenario to calculate this. But once again, just a quick recap. Microsoft's solution requires having at least four servers and at least one CSJ bot, and that system will still have single point of failure. If you want to avoid that, you need to stick with at least three CSJ bots and four servers. Starwind solution can go with only two servers. Well, maybe RAIDs, you know. So yeah, Starwind is obviously cheaper. Less expensive, to be more polite. And thank you for your question, Artem. I hope that did the job. Спасибо. And that's actually a good question, so no problem. Okay, big question from. Fred Upshow. In a two-node hyperconverged, should the MPAO be failover or round-robin? Keep all the reads, writes local. Hey, Fred, that's actually a great question. I hope you have a microphone, because you are on air. Hi, Fred. Yeah, doing pretty cool. Thanks for asking. How about you? How's the weather over there? Are you actually in US or somewhere else? I heard that you got a great snowstorm there, no? I'm glad for you as well. So, okay, I think it will be better if you will ask your question. Great question. Mostly that depends on the expected workloads of the system. Starwind, again, supports both. Usually, or better say traditionally, our users are running round robin. But it's possible to configure Starwind to use local storage at the primary pass of in failover only, while the reserve pass, you know, the second pass that will be used only in emergency situations, will be the synchronization channel. Thus, it helps to save, you know, network interface cards from being used by iSCSI data traffic, and that is actually fully supported. Moreover, if everything will be processed locally, everything will be speeded up by the loopback, you know, speed. That's it. There may be a difference, but that mostly depends on the workload. So I'm not sure if you already use Starwind in one or another way, but if not, you know, just drop me a quick email. By the way, I will type in my email right now to the GoToWebinar chat box and we'll share it with all of you. Voila. So if you will guys have any questions, you know, really there are some type of questions that requires a lot of clarification and they are kind of really specific. So if you will have some of those, just drop me the quick email to AV and we'll continue a conversation. Yeah, well, that question, the answer to this question actually can be applied to version 6 as well, which supports round robin and failover as well. So, yeah. Okay, so, yeah, my pleasure. Okay, take care, Fred. I'm using your back. Okay, question from let me choose. Well, there's a big question from Corey Pierce with a short answer, so I'll just read it by myself. Does Starwind solution work best with the same versions of Windows Server on the host, or can you use different versions? For example, one Windows 2012, and one is Windows 2012 R2 server. If you can use different versions of Windows Server Hyper-V, are there any gotchas with the different versions? From Starwind perspective, you can use even Windows Desktop on the one server and the Windows Server on the other host. That is not actually fully supported, but technically possible. From the Microsoft, or to be more exact, from the Hyper-V or another Microsoft cluster perspective, you should have same operation system on both hosts. Moreover, those operation system should have identical updates installed. And yeah, actually I had a couple of situations where Hyper-V cluster didn't want to create just because of the difference in the updates. So yeah, that's the case of Microsoft. Thank you for your question though. Really interesting question from Edgar Smagna. Which mode do you test today? Actually, I tested Blended, which is actually the Ballantines. Yeah, I'm a sinner a little bit about that. But hey, once we'll get done, I'll get home and I'll get my bottle of Cointreau. Thanks for requesting, Edgars. Cool. Oh, by the way, another question from Edgar. Is there any plans about building some complete system with hardware too, or will stay pure software driven? Well, I hope one day we will build the pure hardware then, and we will develop something better than Tesla cars can do. But when exactly that's gonna be, I'm not sure. Thanks for the question, though. Guy, that's the last question that I can see right now. If that will be the last one, I'm gonna finish the webinar. So if you want to get some questions answered, type them in all in right now. Okay, so question from Cecile Hargers. I have two 2012 Hyper-V servers, or two cores, with Microsoft Management Tools and local Windows 8 machine. From your demo, from my demo, it appears that Cecile would need install StarWinds. Okay, so Cecile's intention is to create a 2012 server test bed with the ability to provide MS kernel virtualization. I do not, Cecile, do not see our organization embracing VMware as indicated in your diagram. What would be the optimum configuration under these constraints? And that is exactly the type of the questions that need to be clarified. And since we are actually on a short hand, we've got only 7 minutes before this, before I will get drunk. Cecile, please email me. Just in case if you don't have my email, I'll share it once again. Sent all. Good. But that's a good question. So, next question from John Willis. Any chance Tarrant will support an NFS export? Great question. John, are you ready to be unmuted? Good to hear that. Okay, so the question if StarWind is going to have some kind of a network file system that we will develop, right? Yeah, that's actually a good question, and it's really good. Why? Because why should we do that, first of all? StarWind runs on top of the Microsoft server, and the Microsoft server do have the technologies that allow to build network file share cluster, basically. So what we are offering is to create StarWind highly available storage, put the NFS Microsoft share on top of that, and use it. Moreover, that thing can be a little bit more complicated. For example, once again, StarWind hyperconverged with Hyper-V and the virtual machines with NFS share, and once again, they may be clustered, on the virtualization layer. Thus, I would say that's even more preferred scenario. Well, just my opinion. Oh, they do? Huh. Okay. Okay. That's even better than for us. I'll talk with our R&D guys, and that thing will definitely w will be considered as a feature request right now. Let me make a quick note. And if I share export. Yeah, well, I see no reasons to disagree with that statement, actually. So yeah, if we can, why shouldn't we do that? Okay, thanks for that. Is there anything else? Awesome. Thank you, John. Take care. Question from Akbar Ahmad. Is there any virtual sun free from Starwind? Not trial, full free. Yeah, if you are a VMware user, we've got time limited offer for 2 nodes, unlimited storage space, and also we've got probably limited offer for Microsoft specialists. So, just email to sales and they will guide you in one or another direction. You will see the sales contacts on the next slide when we will finishing up this tap room. Thanks for question though. Yeah, and once again, this webinar is recorded, will be loaded to the website, uploaded to the website really, really soon, probably tomorrow. Well, obviously, it's not here already. Okay, so I don't see any questions here, so I'd like to say thank you all, gentlemen. You all done a great job. I was really glad to see all of you guys here. There was a lot of good questions here. I'm looking forward to see your names among the attendees on our further webinars. That's gonna be next week, and also. And also, don't have a nighty hangover tomorrow. Take care, everyone, and stay safe. Love you all. Bye bye.